那就 lecture 那个挺贵的。哦，I know，this second。That was tomorrow, I think. Tomorrow. Okay. You ask me. How did you come here? Or we can move this projector. Can adjust this one.
Ah,
How about you? It's okay?
Well, it's a little worse than before, so.
Worse than before?
It's
okay.
Could you just put it back?
Put it
back?
Maybe like that. This way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Everybody can see. This one comes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, well.
You can move this one
very too much. It's all right.
I'm okay.
It's okay now. I got a little bit of a little bit of a little bit of a little bit
of a little bit of a little bit of a little bit of a the other cable.
This one?
Oh, yeah.
It's better?
Yeah.
How about James?
The first one was better.
Yeah, that's a little better.
That's all right, yeah.
It doesn't make any difference.
It doesn't make any difference.
I got it.
Yeah, we could just put the leg up.
Yeah, we just rotate that leg a little bit. Just rotate the leg down. Mm-hmm. That'll light up a little bit. Yeah, a little longer, not too long. Yeah, that should happen there.
So now can we start it now? You want to do some quick side? Yeah, it can start, right?
Yeah,
it can start, right? So thank God who sent the servants, which is Isaac and the Lord and Troy. Thank God for which Isaac and the Lord and Troy. So he had been serving God's ministry in Chicago for the last 37 years since 1978. And for the last 36 years, they've been serving CDF ministry. So it was a very great honor for us to privilege for us to have them in the working. So let's welcome them. So let's sing one hymn. This is my father's word, and after this hymn, Abraham prayed for a workshop tonight and tomorrow. 75. This is my father's word. This is my father's word. And to my listening ears, all night long in the mountains, the music of the hills. This is my father's word. I will live without hope. Is all God dances, and the world has grown. This is my father's word. The word that gathers grace. The world new life, the living light. Declare the it is my life, all within my spirit. In the world's fingers, I hear him best. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my father's word. All that need not forget. That all my mountains are strong. I live on my highest. This is my
gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for sending us in Jesus, as our Savior. Thank you for Jesus, who died for us and rose again from the dead and gave us eternal life. Thank you for calling us to be your servants for the Lord's compassion. Thank you for using your servant, missionary, as a toy, missionary, very cultural, so precious for the last 37 years in Chicago, especially for our CBM ministry. And I thank you for sending them to Milwaukee today and giving us this precious time to learn how to raise our second generation to be next leaders of the next generation. Father, please give your servant Jesus your Holy Spirit that he can teach us and share his knowledge and experience with us so that we can not only understand how to raise our children and next generations as your workers and servants for salvation. He with us this time and help the co-workers who did not come here to come here as soon as possible. I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Everybody know my name. I want to sit down. By God's grace, I have been serving Chicago ministry for 37 years. Also by special favor, I could serve CBF 36 years together with the campus work, 13 years UIC, and 13 years Loyola, and 26 years in campus with CBF together. So weekend time is campus mission, weekdays campus mission, weekend is CBF. But when 120 member CDF member became, Dr. John Jordan suggested independent CDF fellowship. So after 26 years, we become independent CDF fellowship. We only thought about it. But I'm still doing one-to-one. I couldn't go campus for fishing, but I'm still doing one-to-one as well as a serving CDF ministry. While I'm serving CDF ministry, I found out that, you know, to have a successful CDF second generation ministry, there are two things, very essential things. One is a teacher, of course, teacher. And second thing is parents. It's without parents' cooperation and support, it cannot be successful for second generation ministry. So I realized this is an essential thing. So I began to look around and how to mobilize our parents to engage in this their own children's ministry and successful family. So, and Bible studies and my experience in CDL ministry, as well as outside the conference and American Church Sunday School conference outside, and read many books and find out something, some common things. So I wrote about and make a presentation. So as you know, I have four lectures, two for parents, two boys, teachers. Actually, all our UBA chapters are small, not big enough to separate the family or teachers and parents. Mostly, parents are teachers and teachers are parents. So this four lecture is really proper to any chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So even though today is the Godly Family in the World Mission, this is for parents, but it's also for teachers together. But second lecture will be children ministry, that is for senior teachers. But that also, we can, the parents can understand what is their children's educating ministry is going on. So that will be all proper to everybody. So I want to do this lecture one and then have a last 15 or 20 minutes, have some question and answer session. So that you have a question, and as much as possible, I can answer for you. So if during my presentation, if you have some question and interesting things, you can write down and let me know in the way you can help. So that is the thing. So we are engaging World Mission. And at the same time, all our missionaries and shepherds, they have a family. Everybody came to UBF as a single. Not many, it's a couple came, but all single. And here, faith grow up, they marry, establish house church. Then children came up. When two of them there, it's no problem, but children came up. Then we have to learn something about family. That is what we are going to do. So my presentation is not just from the book or something. This is from the Bible. So we are reading lots of Bible passage and also think about from Bible passage what is talking about the family. So this is a godly family in the world mission. In our frontline mission here, how we really participate this world mission with our family. So that is what it's about. So overview. So if God created the institution of the family as the foundation of all human life. We know this part very well. Wow. The Great Commission of Jesus is the driving force of the evangelism in Christian church always. So here we can see that two institutions of God. One is a family, one is a church. That's clearly in the Bible there. So the topic of the family and the world mission seem to be quite different each other. Of course, it's different. However, the scripture points out the fact that both of them are connected each other and related very closely one another. I thought this world mission doesn't need a family, but it's clearly connected. Without family, the world mission is an impossible thing, according to Bible. In this lecture, we want to find what the definition purpose of life, purpose of family, and world mission are, and how to imply this in our mission-oriented life. So ultimately, we may please God by participating in world mission with joyful family life, not just unhappy family life, but joyful family life in the world mission. That's a nice thing we can think about. That is all about this lecture. Two institutions of God is a family and church. It's not man-made, but God-made. So according to the Old Testament,
God established the family in the Garden of Eden to carry out his creation purpose. In the New Testament, right after Jesus' ascension, he planted the church to carry out the reason Jesus' great commission. Both of them have special and unique purpose in God's history and throughout generations. Then, what is the main theme of the whole Bible? We can say many things, but it's very clear that 50 years with the worshipers of God based upon Genesis 1 and 2. So, creation, God's creation, that is 50 years with the worshipers of God. That is a purpose in the Bible. That's the main thing. However, according to Genesis 3, salvation for sinful mankind through law, God's law. Because of this man's fault, this main thing is the same, but it's a different another step it came out. So filled up this world with the worshipers of God, at the same time, salvation for sinful mankind through God's law. That is a main theme of the whole Bible. Then, what is the theme of the Old Testament? It says 39 books in the Old Testament talk about many things. We can hear something based on Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. It seems to me the Old Testament is the main thing is like this. We can think about here, if I summarize this part, Exodus 19, 5 and 6, building God's chosen people for the coming of Messiah. This is the Old Testament about whole story. Building God's chosen people for the coming of Messiah. So that means a kingdom of priests and the holy nation. Then we can think about, how about the New Testament? Old Testament is already very difficult, but New Testament is very clear. Jesus' gospel is death on the cross and resurrection from the dead. That is the main part. But we can think about something here. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. This is Jesus' great commission. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. It seems to be the two things that come together in the New Testament. So it looks like Jesus' gospel, and then go and make disciples for all nations. So, we can think about here. What is God's first blessing and commandment after God's creation? It came out Genesis 1:28. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. This is God's first commandment to mankind, no other thing. To the nature, he let there be light, that kind of thing, but to mankind, this is the first one. We can think about it, this one here. Here, be fruitful and increase in number. At that time, there's no fishing or nothing. There's only biological increasing things. So produce children. So I mentioned that the Old Testament's main thing there is filling the earth with the worshiper of God. You know, to fulfill that one at that time, the best way was by biological things, increasing number that way, build it up. So that is the first command. We have to look at this, why God really first command put it in there, be fruitful and increase number. That's the first one he put it in. That is really connected with Old Testament main theme, that one. Here, look at that, here. This is around, I counted around 200 people. Last year, I went to my grandson's school. They have a grandparents day. They have a school grandparents day. So they invite our grandparents. So we went there. The school official, they check all lots of grandparents came in, saying that who the most children had. So I was raised hand, but I have only 3 children, so I cannot do that. But they come up 6, 9, 10, 11. 11 was the most. So they ask her, are you Jewish? Because Jewish standard is 9 children.
Oh.
Without 9 children, they cannot say, I have children. That is a Jewish thing. So they ask her, are you Jewish? No, I'm not Jewish. But she has 11. I thought about 11 children have their children and their children. It go past through 3 generations. These 2 persons have 11 children that go down 3 generations. It's around here in the 200 people.
Wow.
It's really real that be fruitful and increase in number. God's mathematics is really great things. He said, 2 people have 11 children, 3 generations, over 200. That's a really wonderful thing we can see.
This one from 1 family?
Looks like, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 3 generations, 3 generations.
And there's a grandpa sitting on it.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
So one family?
Looks like.
Wow.
I don't know exactly, but that looks like one.
I thought that was five.
So here is God's command. It looks like it's a possible thing, you know, increase number and the increase number, fruitful and increase number. Second thing is here, fill the earth and subdue it. That is what we know very well about the cultivate and pioneering nature. And third thing come up, rule over the stewardship, shepherd for all things. Here is very clearly that not only blessing, but also assignment or function. God is blessed. Bible says blessed. But when you look at this content, we can say that this is an assignment or function. It's not just a blessing, but also assignment of that's a function of our mankind. Then how to fulfill God's commandment? God said, be fruitful and increase number. Then how? This is here. Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And also we can think about here, Genesis 2:21-25. I don't want to read this one. God really doing something for fulfilling His commandment. How to fulfill? This is establishing family by marriage. This is the God's institution of family. How? Because He commanded and fulfilled through creating this family. This is a Genesis. He didn't create anything, nature and universe, then He created man and commanded that family became. So how important that's a method about God here. So family, we are just think about, oh, family, we marry and children. But here, this origination say about, this is fulfilling God's commandment. Not just two persons meet together, marry them. That's not the death. That's also important. However, beyond that, God has a great purpose in that this is fulfilling His command. So here, think about marriage based on mission. This is a biblical concept of marriage. Marriage based on mission. So here he's saying that marriage is all about the great commission to man and woman. The great commission. Husband and wife are to love and lead, help each other, grow spiritually. Grow spiritually. Because God made man in the image of God. So we must grow, husband and wife. Mostly, before marriage, they grow. After marriage, they don't grow. But, actuality, grow together. Because we are created in the image of God. Become mature. Not the statues grow or weight grow, but our faith. And become mature. If a husband and wife didn't grow, then there is something wrong. We must grow so that we can show God's image in us. Then what kind of mission here? Here we can see that the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, in the picture show that it's a nature among them. Genesis 2:15, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. To work it, to take care of it. That is God's mission to this couple. Not only so, he is a very mysterious thing. Union between man and woman. This children. Here, children is godly offspring according to Malachi 2:15. God, children, our children is a gift of God. However, God has expectation. That is based on Malachi 2:15, godly offspring. So, parents ought to raise their children as godly children. That is a parent's job, not the church job, or a pastor job, or a shepherd. Parents' job. And a succession of multi-generations. If there is no children, then there is no continuation of generation. That is an obvious one. Mostly here, union between a man and woman, Bible said, to become one. In the Ephesians 5:32 said, Paul exclaimed that it's a profound mystery, to become one. Mathematically, we cannot make a to become one. To become two, something like that. But to become one, This is the, that's why Apostle Paul say Ephesians that it's a profound mystery to become one. Even though we are quite different and everything, but God made union here. Therefore, God has formed man in family, the small group as a basic unit. There is no other small group. Only family is the smallest group, two or three. God made it unit. It's a meaning there. God created an institution of the family as the foundation of all human life. All human life in all places and in all times. Past, present, future will be not changing. In North Pole or South Pole or Korea or America, this family will not change. And in all times. But this year we could see that the High Court made change this kind of thing. This is God made this one, but man changed. So that's why we must teach this one, not only ourselves, but also to our children. Because our children can confuse this one. When they study about Bible, their society rule, constitution, they are confusing. So, we must train and equip our parents well about this part. If a parent is not clear about this one, our children never know. Because they are succession of our generation. If we don't know them, they don't know. Then they all disconnected. We know, we teach this for our children, they will go down to the noise. In spite of all society, worst scenario there, it doesn't matter. And man's fault, we know very well about this one. Sin disobedient to God, came and spread into the world, and God's salvation work began. The problem is the consequence of sin. Here we can see painful toil for food, painful labor in childbearing, return to dust. This is a really painful result. So here we can say that previously, when you go back to here, when you take to work it, to take care of it, there's a food there. When you do a mission, God provides the food. But when man sin, this mission changed as survival. Labor for survival. Now there's a TV, there's some series, Survivor. We should watch it then. Look at God. This is it's a kind of this mission changed to labor for survival because of consequence of sin. So how to build a family then? First, God called Abraham. Because of this man's fall, family value all changed. So God has to rebuild this family. How? Through calling one man Abraham. Here, look at that. One man. Especially Genesis 12, 1 through 3, they say, into a great nation, and your name great, and will be blessed through you. So here, think about this, that's a picture that man, And for family, this family progress, make a nation and the world. Yes, God's purpose here is calling one person, Abraham. Here we can see that this one, so we can see this was to build up one person and form a nation through him. God would prepare the whole world to accept the Savior through that nation. When God's time came, he would send the Messiah, Jesus, and save the world through him. Here we can say that God called one person, Abraham, but God called his whole family. Whole family. So God called all of you, but God called all your family to fulfill his mission. This is a God, a building, building family from beginning this way. And multi-generational covenant based on Genesis 17:7. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and your descendant after you for the generation to come to be your God and God of your descendant after you. God's covenant is not just me, my children, my grandchildren, and children's children. And God wants to be their God. Their God. So here's this triangle. See that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, then 12 sons, and down through nation. God didn't call build this family not just for one generation, but multi-generational vision. So we are in that process there. So here, God emphasized that his plan for the world is a family, extended family, and multi-generational plan. Not just a family, but also extended family and multi-generation. God's mission for Abraham, Genesis 18 and 19. So, what did God want Abraham to do in response to his global and multi-generational vision? He just was saying that, okay, you will be a blessing. That's it? No. God has something to Abraham. So Abraham must come up. Not just he followed that one. Here, we can see here. Let's read this verse together. This is 18:19. Okay. For I have chosen him so that he will back his children and his household and after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about if Abraham didn't draft his children, God's promise will not come. That is the condition was draft his children. Draft his children. So other version, the old Bible said, teach Bible, discipline by children, discipline children, and teach Bible to their children. Other Bible versions say about. But NIV here say, direct children. So he is thinking that Abraham was responsible for teaching his children righteousness and justice so that they might enjoy God's blessing. It is important for Abraham to know how God's righteousness was at work in judgment. When you look at the Genesis Bible study in chapter 18, that is very famous chapter. Do you know what is that in chapter 18? You're all Genesis Bible teacher. 1 through 17 talk about Lot And at the 19, is the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then the last part was the last two doors in the cave. That is a strange things happened there one. Why God put in this very, very important reaction to between that? It's an ugly thing between that.
Ugly thing.
Why God intended put it in there? Why? Because here when you look at this 18 carefully, after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is righteous, if those keep their one, they will be blessed. But those are not keeping, like a Sodom and Gomorrah, last two doors. It's very obvious. God really emphasized it, this matter, in between this kind of worse scenario there. We have to catch up this one. When our children didn't keep the law, the way of the law, we cannot guarantee our children's future. See, God's word here clearly. So, when we obey and here teaching the children righteousness and justice, our children, our beloved children can enjoy God's blessing. If not, there's no guarantee. Then, we can think about it here. The first and greatest commandment. What is the first and greatest commandment? We are all here Bible scholars, so first and greatest commandment.
Love your God. Love your
God. Right. That's right. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. It's Jesus mentioned Matthew 22:37. When the teachers of the law came, what is the greatest commandment in the Bible? Jesus said, talk about this Deuteronomy 6:5, saying that this is the first and greatest commandment. Second one is love your neighbor. So, why this is the first and greatest commandment? Because this is our purpose of life. We glorify God by loving Him with our whole beings. This is our purpose of life. That's why Jesus mentioned that this is the first. His Korean way is this one first, but American way is this one. So I can say this one. So, here we can see. But here also we have to think about when Deuteronomy 6:5, love the Lord your God, then immediately following the greatest commandment, God focuses our attention on family life on Deuteronomy 6:6-7. We not only the word of God, we have to see that how they arrange that passage. Look at here. The Tables of Deuteronomy 6:5. Just below now, this commandment, that is Deuteronomy 6:6-7. God put the first, love the Lord your God. And then, immediately following passages, is a family matter. Here we can see how God emphasized the family really love God. When you read this one, this commandment that I give you today ought to be on your heart. On your heart. That's a parent, on your heart. Impress them on your children. Impress them on your children. Love God. Talk about them when you sit at the home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. So how much God emphasized this family matter here? Most important, there's a command then follow. He said that, he summarized that past parents' faith to their children. Faith is not just a knowledge. This is a faith live on our life. That is a faith. Not our brain, but in our life. So, parents live with their children, pass on this one. That's why God said, impress them on your children. Number two, impress the heart of your children with the love of God. Teach repeatedly. When I saw the CBR ministry, I repeatedly say to their children, they say, I know, I know. Maybe all your children say like that, right? You say, I know, don't say that repeatedly. But then when you look at read the Bible, continue repeating, you know? So I just wonder why God. That's a man's simple nature. We just want her and forget it. But God continuously plant in our heart. Sometimes even adults also, same thing repeatedly. We don't want to hear that. But Bible says it's a hard thing repeating. If they get rid of a repeating thing, maybe Bible maybe half. Less than half or something. So here, teach repeatedly. It's a love for God, this one. That's why God said, impress the heart of your children. Third, not information, but life-oriented. Nowadays, the internet came up, website, we just children ask a difficult question, oh, go and find the internet. Which website? Go. It's easy. But God is a Bible, truth is not the information. This should be not information, but life-oriented. To see God in all aspects of life. I didn't mention that the number one there, role model. Role model. This was, I was very sorry about that. I couldn't be a role model for my children. But when he summarized his past parents' faith to their children, that means role model. When I talked to Pastor Paul Dan right after arriving here, he had a daily bread with his children from young age. So they are all obedient. That is a role model. Just through role model, we can teach our children. Then, how can I pass and the love of God to my children? Here is a question. Based on Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7. Here. Talk about. In the verse 7 said, talk about them when you sit at the home. Here. Yeah, talk about them. Just to talk about, that's what Bible said. Not just to study. Bible didn't say study with your children, but talk about God. And what? This is love for God. Love for God. When? Sit at the home. Here is very obvious. Sit at the home when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. It's a four times. Very easy. Do you have a time? We ask you. by which study. But this is the obvious time. Sit down at the home, that means it's a meantime. Not meantime, talk about Milwaukee Brewers, the win or postseason or something. Pack a team winning or something, but talk about the God, local God. Mm-hmm. And sleeping, go to bed at that time. The parents usually go to bed and pray for them, right? At that time, you don't want God. And get up at the time. Maybe ancient times, there is no car, so they have to walk. But now we have a car giving life to our children. That is, they couldn't go anywhere at that time. Such a storm. Really. Using that 10 minutes or 30 minutes, whatever time, you know, not late to school, but this guy is very, very wise. Because many parents say, I have no time to talk about the word to my children. But Bible says so here. That time you talk about. We have no excuse to pass on faith to our children. There's no faith, no excuse. Answer, so answer is family discipleship. Through pass on our faith to our children, raising them as a disciple. That is tomorrow's my lecture, family discipleship. Let's talk about there. So here, how can I pass faith and love for God to my children? Through family discipleship. Okay, look at the multi-generational visioning family. Before was not the family, multi-generational covenant. But here, this is a long passage, but it's I want to not read this one, all of them. But the main thing here, we command our ancestors to teach their children. Teach them why, so the next generation would know them. If we don't teach our children, they don't know about who is God. Even though children yet to be born. Wow, God's vision is great. Yet to be born. And they in turn would tell their children, then tell their children, then they would put their trust in God. Would not forget his deed, but would keep his command. God's telling all the answer here. How children can trust in God, care about, not to forget, and his command. When the children, parents talk about God, and next generation to next generation, they can put trust in God. Because parents continue to talk about and show that's an example to them. Because here God really talk about that, saying that they would not be like their ancestor. We remember this ancestor. Stubborn, rebellious generation whose heart was not loyal to God, whose spirit were not faithful to him. You know, to avoid that one, we have to teach our children about God and what God did has done so that they may put their trust. So that's why whenever they cross over Jordan River, there are that stone erected and that had a monument there. Say, your children ask me, what is this stone? They talk about God. That is a purpose there. So, Psalm and Proverbs are filled with God's word about family life. Many places. In Psalm 78, God gives us a powerful picture of parents and grandparents disciplining their children. not just parent, but grandparent. I thought that I become grandparent, oh, I'm free, I'm enjoying my grandchildren. That is usually grandparents say that, I enjoy, because no responsibility. Responsibility for a parent, not the grandparent. So I said, okay, I enjoy, but when I study this passage, oh no, there is no free. Grandparents have the mission too. Because God created man for mission. Here is why God hates the divorce. This is breaking the family. I want to read this passage. Malachi 2:15. Has not the God made you? You belong to Him in body and spirit. And what does the one God say? God, godly offspring. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. Here God hates divorce. Most thing is here, according to this Bible. They broke the death covenant as well, but here, there is no more godly offspring when family broken down. But that's why God hates them, divorce. So this means how God cherishes this family and children, godly offspring. So we can conclude here, marriage is a disciple-making institution, family disciples. So husband and wife, they are to make it their top mission priority, to make disciples of their children. If they cannot make their own children disciples, how can go campus make disciples? So this is the God entrusted our children to us. We have to raise them as disciples, so that which God is a multi-generational vision for us, for our family, right? We may continue to go down. Final word in the Old Testament. It's very, very interesting. It's a final word of Old Testament, Malachi 4, 5, and 6. He's saying that, see, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of parents to their children, and their hearts of the hearts of the children to their parents. Or else I will come and strike the land and total destruction. How God really emphasized about this family. Looks like in ancient time also many rebellious children and runaway father or runaway parents, something looks like that. Same thing, present time. But this one had to be restored. Otherwise, he will come and strike the land, total destruction. Because God instituted this family for His purpose. Because of runaway family, parents, or rebellious children, family broken down, then God's purpose is not going well. This is the word of God, not my saint here. Malachi, here. That's the emphasis in the family here. So, it is the ultimate expression of Father's love to His children. Once again, God connects His plan of salvation with the institution of family. So, when I began this presentation, we thought about it looks like a family and world mission looks like a separate one, separate thing, looks like. But now we can see that family is kind of related to salvation plan. So we cannot ignore this one. Whether we have to cherish and develop. How to begin the church? Now we can think about it. So far we are talk about that family. Now you talk about church. Because world mission, that is based on the Jesus' Great Commission. Jesus' life and ministry for gospel, we know well. Born in a manger, proclaim the gospel, good news of the kingdom of God, raising 12 disciples, and promising second coming, crucified, and resurrection from the dead, Great Commission attention. This is like a Jesus' life here. We know very well. I cannot add anything here. This is full gospel talk about Jesus. And then, Great Commission. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. This is a Great Commission. Jesus first reiterated, expand God's first command. Oh, this is already we can think about. Jesus' last command with first God's command connected. Here, how? Your first command and Great Commission. Here, Genesis 1:28, as it is taught. Be fruitful, increase number there, one. Here we can see, be fruitful in increase. According to Matthew 28:19-20, God, Jesus said, make disciples. In this way, increase number. We see here another one. Feed the earth. That make a name, disciples of all nations. This is feed the earth, all nations. Subdue it. Teaching them to obey, I have commanded you. Subdue it. Here we can see that God's first commandment, Jesus' last commandment, is even though vocabulary is different, but meaning is connected. Can you see that?
Yeah.
So here we can see that God's plan has been the same from the beginning. He is filling the earth with his worshipers. He has chosen his institution of family as an essential component to carry out his plan. So, we can see that the family is carrying out this world salvation plan, world mission plan. Based upon all this review of Bible here. As we have seen throughout God's world, marriage, family, and raising godly children are all connected to the Great Commission. Great Commission. God has given us special responsibility with our children who are higher priority than our special opportunity with our neighbors. God has given these first things here. It doesn't mean that you just stop all campus work, just stay home raising your children. Not that way. Don't misunderstand. There is a mission on top of that, raising our children at disciples, Jesus. We've forgotten that one, even though it was in Bible. We have to restore this one so that we can go through and participate in the world mission. The second last institution, church. Still not yet, church came up. But here church come up. After Jesus' ascension, God established church as a believer, believer's community. The Great Commission is the driving force of mission and evangelism for believers and churches in every generation. To achieve his mandate to make disciples, The Lord commanded his follower to engage in three actions. To make disciple. Three actions mean. First, go. Second, baptize. And teach. When I look at this picture, it looks like very significant. It's a believers community. Community of believers. I found out that's a very interesting picture. He said, that is our church. So, after Jesus' ascension, Jesus' commission, his church was established, fulfilling this great commission. Church's function. We'll talk about Acts 2:38 through 47. I don't want to read this one. You have a time, you can read this one. He's talk about real function of our church. What is the function of church? They can characterize here evangelism, 38 through 47. Second, discipleship, 40 through 43. Third, fellowship. Fourth, ministry. Fifth, worship. This is mostly five functions is a church doing. Obviously, our UBF was before, it's a para-church. But now we are going to church. We are in that process. So, this is a function we have to know about. I don't want to explain all of them. But here we can say that evangelism, just one word, is sharing the gospel to the lost. Discipline, discipleship is following Jesus. Fellowship is an intimate, special relationship. And ministry is meeting another person's need in Jesus' name. And worship. The response of the person to the presence of God. It's a kind of a thing. I don't want to talk about that as a church function, but the world mission we want to talk about. Missionary for the world mission. Now, according to Acts 13:2-3, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted, prayed, they placed their hand on them, sent them out. This is the first missionary sent. First missionary sent from Antioch Church. So here we can, it's the main part here. The godly family in the world mission. We talk about family and church and world mission. Number one is God created family through discipleship. Second, God created family as an essential engine for world evangelism. Third, the family ministry in Old Testament is parent to children in vertical relationship oriented. On the other hand, the church ministry in the New Testament is man-to-man in horizontal relationship oriented. So here, we can some compare about here. Parent to children, Old Testament, man-to-man, New Testament. So orientation, the parent and parent is blood and flesh related relationship, our children and parents. But man-to-man is just a human orientation. So go to devotion matter, commitment. Family, devotion, commitment, it is stronger than anything else. But man-to-man are to be weak. It's a range. Parent-to-children ministry is a narrow, single way. Father-son, father-son, father-son. So no more. single line. But man to man is a variety, multiple wing. And method is a vertical. Old Testament, New Testament, horizontal. And the world mission, parents, children, that is a wing, not the prosper, just one line going down. So it's not much prosper. But man to man is a strong. Biblical, both sides is a yes. Old Testament, parent to children, that's Old Testament way. New Testament way, also man to man, yes. You can see that here, some pro and con here. So, here. You know, to carry out successful world mission without missing anyone, we would better practice this true way of evangelism based on the Bible. So go back to here. This is a strong point. Strong point, strong point, strong point. This one combined. Our example. When I went to this Oxford last March, it's Oxford is a city, but we know there's a school. This Oxford University has 38 colleges. 38 colleges. That consists of one city. But all that college has own, what is that? Chapel. Own chapel. They all pipe organ. Pipe organ. But the thing is, my son said, let's go to museum. So I thought it's go to church, but go to museum. The owner's three all church here and there, here. So many gorgeous buildings. Went in, this museum, pipe organ there. My son said, only less than 10% is functioning. You know that Europe was the origination of Christianity. Lasted many thousand years, Christianity developed and prospered, sent the missionary to even America, America sent missionary to Korea, something like that. Why become like that? Now it's a Muslim go in, went in, they bought that museum, they own mm-hmm. They made their way. And also Europe, many church buildings, gorgeous church buildings become restaurant, drinking place. Why there's so many excellent theologians and pastors and missionaries? Why now? There are many reasons there. However, main reason is parents didn't teach the Bible to their children. At that time, they don't know. I realize here is a strong commitment. This one, I really look at that one. Parents and children, that's a commitment. Even though there are many no good children, no commitment, but mostly, children have a commitment to their parents. If parents teach their children about Christianity, Jesus, they keep it that one. Also, they teach their children too, in the way they maintain. Why they become like that? So, I'm thinking about 2041, we have a prayer topic. Do you know what is the prayer topic, 2041?
100,000
missionaries. Yes, 100,000 missionaries. What is your strategy for this?
Yeah, 26 is
remain. I don't know at the time I'll be here or not. I don't know. 26 years. Right, exactly. I just want to hear that one from this young couple. I'm so glad you got catch the point. You know, so we have to have some strategy, you know. We pray, Lord, raising 100,000. We lying down, apple tree, apple, or up. No way. We have to have some kind of strategy. Mm-hmm. And prayer topic, clear prayer topic. What are you going to do? When I prepare this presentation, I thought about this 2041, 100,000 mission. Now, I'm thinking this way. Our campus work here, 50. Our family, all missionary shepherd family, raise their children, 50. Go up, 100, right? Next generation comes 200, right? Third generation, I show you a picture that two couple have 11 children, three generation, 200, right? If a three generation pass or a four generation pass, we can come up 100,000. Don't you think so? Of course, God will do it. But as a follower, we must have some kind of a strategy. So I'm encouraging in godly family in the world mission, raise our children as disciples. Vertical way, horizontal way. We have to work both ways together. Not just only one. There's a many weak point. This is a weak point. Jewish, for example, Jewish is this way. They have a children, 11 children. 9 children is a standard. If they don't have 9 children, they cannot say, I have a children. So they are mostly more than 9 children. But their world mission is a weak. So here is a good point. Here, this one. This one. This combined with this strong point, this one. Strong. We mathematically, we know this one is better, right? Yes. That's why I got the idea about this. Even though I'm just 70 years old, but I cannot have many children now. So, I'm ask you, young couples, it's like a Shepherd James right here, have many children. Raise them. Oh, here too. Well, it's not very here, so. And our grandparents, here, our grandparents, really pray. So our young couple have many children. You know, like Genesis chapter 1, why I say it's a biological increase. We have to increase that way. Huh? I'm sorry to say that all our women poor, but there is a Bible say, I'm not saying, you know? When you read the Bible, there is a saying, God closed the womb. And King Abimelech afraid, God really angry and closed all woman's womb. But the human being controlling birth control. It's not the right way. According to Bible. Did you read about that? God closed the womb, right? Open womb, closed womb. This is God's way. I don't know, I'm an ethic violence or I don't know, but I'm saying Bible about that. Sarah literally is smiling. I'm so glad to think about that. Okay, I'm happy that you are yes, so through this presentation, we can have some kind of vision and have some old church really these two things together. Family ministry, restore this family. If you say family ministry restore, then they think, oh, that's a worldly way. No! Based on Bible family ministry. Mm-hmm. That's why I talk about family things, even though you know very well, Genesis, your old teacher, very well, but that's why I talk about this. Okay, if you have a question, I want to answer.
I have a question.
Okay.
I don't know if you talked about this in the beginning, but what's the role, well, obviously you mentioned just now that mom has to bear the children, but what's the role of father and mother in raising children as disciples of Jesus?
Okay. I think it's in Judea, mom and dad role is the same, raising children. Because mom was a Bible teacher, right? And they also delivered the message, messenger in the conference. Right?
Moms?
Yeah. No, though, before mom. Before mom, right? You delivered the message too, right? Conference time.
One time.
One time, that's it, no more. So, according to Genesis, his wife is a helper. It's not just washing socks or clothes, not that kind of helper. Spiritually helper. So, if the father and mother, the same role, raising children, making disciples. So they're saying that in small church, father is a pastor, mother is a pastoress. This is the same role. UBF is impossible. Not just the father only Bible teaching. Mother also, lead them. Oh, this is a discipline that you respond with. No, it's the same thing. Because, as I mentioned that here before, after marriage, they love each other and grow together, grow spiritually. They have to grow. Not just the one is go down, one is up, but grow together. So same measure. Role is the same. So my answer is it's okay. Okay. Any other question?
I was really inspired. I was very impressed by your lecture. And then for the first time, I began to understand why life story was involved in between chapters 18 and 19, right? That God told Abraham. He's responsible to keep to teach the word of God and keep commandments. So God came to the shop. So disruption came upon the last family. So I learned how much important for family, for father and mother, to teach our children the way of the Lord, that they may hear God and obey us as well. I was really inspired by that. I learned more that God wants to stay.
Thank you.
And this one, discipleship in a family, how important it is. Because not only just in the church, but raising our children as disciples of Christ. And also raising disciples through campus ministry. They are both essential. And here, right into relationship and the vertical relationship. They're connected and related to each other to fulfill the Great Commission. So this is really amazing thing too. And that's what I found.
So I want to show last one. Here. Parent, children, man.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, line and the parents here, line two of us, I miss that one. And then we can be willing. We try hard to please God. I think God will help us. Okay, if you don't have a question.
I have a question.
Okay.
So, if you deserve the CBF ministry the weekend or campus ministry the weekdays, I think we need to have a lot of time to be with your three children. But there's something that all my parents still are spending their time with us.
Yes, you're right. We have not much time. When we saw God at that time is a pioneering stage. We couldn't think about our children. I didn't know about family at that time. So after that, we valued shepherd and sheep more than our children. So there's a saying that when the mom made a cake in the refrigerator, saying that it's a John's birthday cake. But the children's name is no John there. So John, his children came from school, opened the cake, what to eat? But there's a note. This is for John's birthday. So children grew up, they saying that you value the sheep more than us.
Mm-hmm.
That is our present situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, to avoid that kind of things. At that time, no one tell about this kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Just to feed the sheep. So, I want to prepare this one to our juniors and growing young couple. Say that they may not mistake or something. Misunderstood. Our children was very precious one. That is a God's image in them.
Mm.
So we cannot ignore them. The same thing. Many people, many parents think that, also think that only sinners at the campus, at the home, children are all righteous. That's wrong.
Mm.
Our children also sinners. They need Jesus. When I look at today's your baby, so cute and wow, how can I say that she's a sinner? Very uneasy things. But in actuality, Romans said, there's no one righteous. No one. So, children, until they grow up, they meet Jesus very personally. They misunderstand their parents. But when they meet Jesus very personally, they begin to understand what the parents are. That's the past things. Otherwise, they cannot be understand at all.
Yeah, I think there's not all UBS parents maybe considered to
yeah,
be
yeah, of course.
Like, I think like Pastor Paul's a little bit example because he also pioneered Milwaukee UBF, mm-hmm. but all his children have a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And then his son joined the ministry,
mm-hmm.
support his dad. So of course we can do all the right things, but our children can still be rebellious too. So it's kind of a tricky thing. And we can do the wrong thing and then they can be better than us. So it's kind of tricky, but I don't know, I think that people, I listened to one sermon by Francis Chan, don't focus on family, because these days, like, the culture is, like, children are, like, the number one priority, and many people, they love their children more than their spouse, you know, so... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think this is very applicable, but like when I have like many friends, and then they think that you should love your children more than your spouse, and you should love your children more than God. So I think there's a kind of Like, we should still, we should value our children, but in the right way, like, as you talk about, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's easy to, like, personally, as a parent, I struggle a lot because I think, you know, some small things are very important, but I realize those things that I really care about, they're not that important. Like, what brand of diaper I use, and diaper rash cleaning, and I think about those things, and I realize, oh, it's not important. It's important to teach Mary about God,
mm-hmm.
but not about who babysits her, or like what, you know, those like little things. But I think these days, like, a lot of parents, like, struggle with those, you know, small details.
Mm-hmm.
I was very blessed by this Sarah baby, and then she long time ago, I think that served she like one children, and served the children like one she. So that gave me a kind of attraction. So as long as, you know, today in Isaac's presentation, when we become God centered, God centered, God commanded us to raise our children in the way of the world. So at the same time, as God said, the disciples, when they become God-centered, we learn how important it is for us to train our children in the way of the Lord. So when we become God-centered, the parents have so much responsibility to teach them to fear God and honor God and worship God, because our ultimate goal is to raise our children to worship us. Because God wants to fill the world with worshipers, including our children. So that's what I've been, that's what I'm knowing.
My mom also lives by that.
Yeah.
Like actually, that's how she lived her life, and then I think it was good.
Yeah.
Because it's, I think it's natural for us to love our children,
yeah.
but not discipline them. So we have to treat them like sheep.
Yeah.
And it's not natural for us to love man who we have no relationship or devotion or commitment to.
Yeah.
But then we should love him. So.
Yeah.
And whenever my mom helps sheep, she says, oh, if this was my daughter,
yeah.
what would I do?
That's mm-hmm. right.
So many crazy people live with us because she always treats them like her children.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I think that's a good... standard.
Yeah.
I remember what I like what you said about the grandparents, because I remember when I was like small, our family only had one tradition, and it was every New Year's we would go to my grandparents' house, and then we had to recite our key verse by memory to my grandfather. Every single year, we came in our humbook and we bowed down and we said, what's your key verse? And then we had to memorize it and say it. And then I say, oh, my key verse is, you know, 1 Peter 3:4, instead it should be your inner self. And then I share the verse and my grandpa says, no, you should choose Ephesians 6:1. Every single year, he gave us that key verse. And he said, only do one thing, obey your parents. So he always gave us all the grandchildren's new keepers. I remember, and then the year that he passed away, that was our last New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
And then that year he gave us all different keepers,
mm-hmm.
and kind of a life direction.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer talk. So, yeah, I like that because I remember that my grandfather, he really enjoyed us a lot. He spoiled us. He like gave us soda and candy and things our parents wouldn't give us. But he also like really gave us the word of God very, very well.
Yeah. See, was I learned that, you know, I came with my grandfather by faith. And I realized that, you know, I can really enjoy the privilege to enjoy it. At the same time, I went, oh, I have responsibility.
Yeah.
Not only just enjoy, but now I realize I have responsibility.
whenever he meets the grandchildren,
yeah.
Memorize the Bible verse. Reading is Bible memorization.
That's the tradition.
Yeah. When they grow up older, now two verses.
Wow.
Almost two verses. This week they came to our house 3 days because their mom works, teacher, they didn't go to school. So they came every day. Every day they memorize. And every day they start the Bible. We studied Genesis 18 and 19. Keeping the way of the Lord, doing what is right and just. That's very, very important.
How old are they? 13 and 12. So now I came to know whatever I'm supposed to do.
And also, after 1 year, they memorized maybe 10 times and 20 verses, okay?
Oh.
And Christmas Day, we prepared the trophy.
Trophy,
and put down their name. Mm-hmm. His name is Nathan. Nathan, you are faithful servant to memorize Bible verses. They like it. So every week, we give something, trophy or something. In that way, we can encourage them. The children need encouragement. So if they do well, they avoid it. And in that way, they can live in. And also, children, even if the wayward children, they visit the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
The Mother's Day, especially Mother's Day or Thanksgiving Day, visiting.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good chance to gather a Bible study. Not just a barbecue or something else, but have Bible study, then after that barbecue or something else. That's a good chance to educating children. So that they can remember that. That's a study.
Thanks so much for sharing it.
I thought that they didn't know very well the Supreme Court decision, but they knew very well. So this word become very wide. You keep the way of the Lord. It's important.
Okay, then we can have a 10-minute break, and then in order to this one, children's education, the CBF ministry is important. So I want to present CBF ministry. That is not an hour, then maybe around 50 minutes. So that is today's assignment. Okay? So just 10 minutes. Bathroom and water.